Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive. Buffalo Sabres finish up their seven-game homestand tonight. It is a seven-game homestand that matches the longest in franchise history. Home tonight against the New York Rangers. Buffalo beat the Rangers 3-1 in New York back in early November. They are 4-4-2 in their last 10 games. The Rangers 3-5-2. Third and final meeting between the Sabres and Rangers this year. Casey Mittelstadt, Zach Bogosian back at practice yesterday. Both of them may be ready to return tonight. 7 o'clock faceoff, Sabres-Rangers at KeyBank Center tonight. College basketball locally tonight. UB Bulls on the road at Toledo. Buffalo with 21 wins, 3 losses, already tied for the fourth most wins in school history for wins in a season. Fourth time in the last 5 years, UB has won 20 or more games. They play at Toledo, 7 o'clock tonight in Toledo, the game on ESPNU. Canisius home tonight against Fairfield at the Kessler Center. That's a 7 o'clock tip-off. They won a couple of road games last weekend at Ryder and St. Peter's. Home tonight against Fairfield. And the Niagara Purple Eagles had a rough road trip last weekend. They're home tonight back at the Gallagher Center against Manhattan College. That game at 7 o'clock. The NFL and Colin Kaepernick have settled their longstanding lawsuit. A release coming out from the NFL today saying the parties have decided to resolve their pending grievances, a confidentiality agreement, no further comment by any party. Around the NFL, veterans on the free agent market trying to get a jump before the free agency period begins on March 13th. That includes former Bills and Patriots running back Mike Gillisley. He worked out yesterday with the Detroit Lions. Still trying to find a defensive coordinator in Cincinnati. Bengals new coach Zach Taylor has been put aside by a couple of people he was interested in, including Aaron Glenn from the New Orleans Saints. The Saints planning to block the Bengals from interviewing Glenn, their secondary coach, for the opening as defensive coordinator in Cincinnati. And that's it. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Tasker here for the third and final hour of the show. Third and final hour of the show this week. We're excited about that, right, Steve?
Boom shakalaka.
Evan studio with us, one of our frequent guests, a guy who knows a thing or two about the Bills and the NFL, especially this time of year. Joe Biscaglia, sports director at WKBW-TV, Channel 7 in Buffalo, is with us. Joe, would you say that free agency and the draft, that's your wheelhouse? Would you describe it as your wheelhouse?
Yeah,
that's
probably
how you made your name, really.
Yeah, it's the draft was really my thing, getting in as a young, long-haired idiot intern over at GR for a while, and then just kind of work my way up and try to know as much as I could about the prospects over the years. Yeah, so it's always good this time of year, because going back to the combine, like doing
you're one
the
of the
Senior
rare
Bowl,
people
all
who,
this stuff.
Who really like the combine.
Oh yeah.
I thought you liked the combine.
I don't like the combine. I like the Senior Bowl.
What's the difference?
Big difference. You were at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, the Senior Bowl, and from a media perspective, it's so much different because it's just a lot more laid back. I mean, it's just practices. You get to watch the whole thing.
There's like, football going on.
They don't let anybody into the actual workouts.
No,
well, now they do. You can buy a ticket.
Well, yeah. I'm not buying a ticket.
Well, I know, but now it's like, you know, it's just one more little revenue stream.
Oh, for sure. I mean, if you're in the NFL, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, people tune into it.
Listen, I get it, but what?
Did you see the combines on the portion of it on ABC on your network this year?
I know.
You know what that said to me? I said somebody has recognized the fact that the combine is the highest rated sports programming in the month of February, early March, right? It really is.
It's crazy the numbers it attracts for how long it's on all the time. I mean, I'm sure the online streams. That's how I tune in. I tune into the online streams and I'm like, wow, this is.
Joe. Well, there's nothing going on at the combine. Those guys are standing around.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
You see the guy, the camera angles. There's a lot. The talking heads.
There are certain.
You're trying to do a promo for our combine coverage in a couple of weeks.
Listen,
what are you doing here? Because
there are certain positions where it is vital.
Listen, you and I are going to be the most interesting thing there.
Oh boy.
Make a note of that, Joe.
I'm going to watch Kyler Murray run a 40.
I'm just saying.
It's not
we're
about
there.
The. I think
Three
it's more
shows.
About the positional drills than
Jim
anything.
It's Jim Shorts and jock straps.
Like
on.
You can see how a cornerback moves when he has to flip his hips and everything like that, and that gives you a good idea with man coverage.
I want to see a cornerback flip his hips.
I don't need to see NFL that. Teams just, do.
Yeah. I know, but come on. Joe Biscaglia. Yeah, but it's not compelling TV.
It is
Joe
to me. B from Channel 7 is with us here for the next couple of minutes.
Excruciating.
I wanted you to dive right in on our Twitter poll today. We've discussed it all day. And we're approaching deep off-season now with the draft is, well, the free agency is a month away. The combine's before that. And then, of course, the draft comes up at the end of the month.
Let me just preface this. The reason he's getting right into it is because Joe agrees with Murph.
No. I asked Bill Barnwell, who disagreed. But, Joe, this is our Twitter poll. Is this offseason more important than last year's was for the Buffalo Bills? And keep in mind, 80% of the respondents to our Twitter poll say, yes, it is. This offseason is more important than last year. Your thought, Joe?
Yeah, I don't think it is because I know the idea behind having all the salary cap room, almost $80 million at this point in time, and then having the 10 draft picks. But it's all secondary to the most important position going in sports, which is finding a potential franchise quarterback and taking that swing. And they based their entire offseason last year around going to get a franchise quarterback, no matter who it was. And it ended up being Josh Allen. They moved up to 7 to get him. They established all those resources, all of the trades that they made leading up to that. I mean, it all made it available to them getting their hands on a potential franchise quarterback. And none of this would be possible, you know, building the team around the young quarterback without actually having done the job of getting the quarterback himself. So that's why I'm of the belief. And this offseason is very important, Steve. Don't get me wrong. But when you look at in the grand scheme of things, I have a hard time believing that finding a franchise quarterback or taking a swing on one is less important than what's going on.
You're
here.
Assuming that Steve has made up his mind on this Twitter poll.
Absolutely.
I've been debating.
He has not. He's waffle. He's in a Waffle House.
I've been debating myself.
Come to the dark side.
But by the same token, let me ask you this. I mean, you can be the first person to vote on the next one. Is Josh the guy?
Oh, that's too early. That's too early to tell
See,
on that.
Now
I mean,
he's waffling.
No, he made legitimate strides over the last, I don't know, 5-6 games.
Legitimate strides.
Yeah, when he came back from his injury, he was a completely different player. Early on when he was starting, it's like, okay, the game might be a little bit too much for him right now, even though he showed those flashes every here or there.
But
when he showed those, I guess, the signs of progress in the, you know, the...
Okay, think off the top of your head.
The brain sort of thing.
What are the things that you noticed, like tangible things you saw him doing?
Well, I saw him certainly stand in the pocket more.
Right.
As the season went on, which is something he did not do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the offensive line didn't really afford him those opportunities early on.
But when he had the chance, he started to take
Yes, he started to dive in. I saw him scan the field ahead of play, pre-snap, which is absolutely so essential to young quarterbacks to be able to understand that side of things and be able to diagnose. But by and large, I saw, you know, becoming more accurate as the season went along, you know, taking those chances down the field. And when he got labeled as a runner, he kind of bucked that trend as well. So it's
Stop
all
taking hits pointing, on the sidelines.
Right. It's all pointing in the right direction. He needs to, you know, chuck the ball up less. And he did that a couple times.
I'll
down
say this too:
year,
his big thing, and critics still go back to this. They say, "Oh, he's inaccurate." Well, here's the thing I see, and because we watch him practice once in a while, I see him throw the football, particularly in training camp this last year, and in games as well a little bit. Here's what I see about his completion percentage: he completes fewer of his passes because he tries to make the hard throw way more often than everybody else.
Sure does.
He tries to make the impossible throw a lot. That's why he doesn't complete as many. And then in this last game against Miami Dolphins, and this is another you can't really say it's an improvement, but he did better his last game last time we saw him, so we didn't have a chance to see if it stuck. He completed 60% of his passes, and they asked him about it, and he said, listen, we were just trying to get completion. So he's, you know, with that decision, basically, and that game plan, all of a sudden he completed 7% more of his passes, went from 53 to 60, and they hung 42 on the Dolphins. That's huge to me, and that speaks of a guy who, just what I said, it wasn't his inaccurate arm, it was his decision-making, his desire to make the tough throw all the time that was his problem with his completion percentage.
Yeah, I think on the whole, in terms of quarterback metrics, completion percentage is a bit flawed. I think yards per attempt is more of an accurate representation of what a quarterback actually is, because then you're seeing depth of target. You also have to factor in drop rate, which every quarterback has drops, so you can't totally blame it on the receivers because everyone deals with it. But when you have Josh Allen's yards per attempt going up as the year goes along, that's a good indicator of him being able to do the job a bit more productively than he had been when he was initially in the starting lineup before the injury. So these are all signs. I mean, completion percentage, it kind of is what it is. He's going to take those shots down the field, and sometimes they're his fault. Sometimes they're not.
Sure.
And it's just, he's not perfect, and he has to battle through all of these different things just like all these young quarterbacks do. But he definitely showed to me over the last five games or so that, you know, he took a step forward.
Joe Biscaglia, Joe B. from Channel 7, sports director there, is with us for the next few minutes. If you have comments, questions about any of this, give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Just back to the Twitter poll for a moment, Joe. I am not, I don't know if you are, and I'm not arguing that the 2019 season, regular season, is not as important as 2018. It is. The season is more important, but this offseason is less important because I do think what's at stake in 2019 in the regular season is, you know, are they getting better? Can we take a step forward with this group, with this philosophy, with this process? Mm-hmm. And do we make steps forward? That's important they do that in the season.
Yeah, I agree with that. And when you have all of this cap room, I mean, of course, this offseason is incredibly important. But when you weigh the two, I mean, do you have door A, which is potential franchise quarterback, or door B, signing a center as your marquee free agent and drafting a defensive tackle? I mean, what would you rather have? What's more important to you when looking at it from a broad perspective?
You're not trying to argue that Spencer Long will be the only free agent they do, right?
Oh, no.
Okay, tell us what you think about Spencer Long and where the Bills are on the offensive line.
On Tuesday, the pocket of fans on Twitter that kind of freaked out a little bit. It was kind of funny to me. Yeah. But that's because just doing this for a little bit, you understand that you never react to the initial numbers of contracts. Because when you see 3 for 13, you're like, oh my goodness, what are they doing? He was terrible for the Jets last year. But when you see the actual details of the contract, you see, okay, it's essentially a one-year deal with team options for the next 2 years. And, hey, if they want to, they could actually cut him before the fifth day after the league year and say, okay, we only paid
thanks for stopping, a mil and a half
if we find something better. But I don't think they'll do that. I think what he does, because you have to consider the offensive line was just atrocious last year. It was bad. And you really only have two holdovers from 2018 that are guaranteed a spot in 2019. Deion Dawkins, Wyatt Teller. You can't convince me of any of the other ones that will be on the 2019 roster. So Spencer Long essentially says, okay, well, if you strike out in free agency at guard or center, or if you strike out in the draft at guard or center, then you have a guy who has plenty of experience. Put him in the starting lineup, live to fight another day for the 2020 offseason, and you have someone in place that could potentially do the job for you. It's a depth thing. I don't know if it's necessarily a starter. He might end up being a starter. Who knows?
Listen, it's hard.
You can't control the offseason.
It's hard to say after seeing him play the last six or whatever games at left guard for the Jets to say he's not going to be an upgrade at one of those two spots than what the Bills had last year when they struggled. But be that as it may, and I want to transition to something. I'll do it with this Twitter poll. Robert Boyer tweets in about our Twitter poll. The only way I say no that this offseason is not more important is because last year you had to find that quarterback. Now you need parts that are easier to come by. So you're last year, the franchise quarterback, you get him. Now you got the parts which are easier to come by, which is why last year was more important. What are the parts? What's the biggest priority?
Ooh, to me, in free agency, because it's a different conversation from free agency to the draft.
Right.
In free agency, I think it's center. I really do. I think it's battling left tackle as the most important position along the offensive line. And with just how much you need a veteran presence there, and with how important that is for getting guys lined up and getting everyone on the same page. I mean, just watching the film of the Bills from last year, how many times there were miscommunications and how many times that probably could have been avoided by the center getting everyone on the same page. And part of that is the quarterback too. I mean, you have to, but when you have a young player, you need a presence for the offensive line saying, all right, point everything out, get everybody on the same page. So that's why I think it's of vital importance. And when there's a couple of guys out there, I mean, Matt Paradis from Denver is the one that everyone's talking about. The guy that I like, Mitch Morse from Kansas City. I mean, he's going to be 27 next year. Paradis is going to be 30. Mitch Morse is probably going to be a little bit less in terms of how much you have to spend for him. And we've heard Brandon Bean talk about being judicious in free agency, everything like that. So to me, Morse is someone with a little bit more upside, a little bit more time of his career where he's in his prime. And he definitely performed the job admirably in Kansas City last year.
Joe, we had a good conversation a couple hours ago today on the show with Eric Wood about how do you identify what type of offensive line you might need and what constitutes a good offensive line. He had some interesting things. I would advise anybody to go back and listen to it. It was pretty good. But one thing that strikes me is that most teams and most fan bases don't like their offensive line. Everybody's looking for something better. And I was thinking about John Miller. Relatively young player, he's got a substantial amount of starts in his career, has not had a tremendous amount of success. But if or when, he probably will hit the free agent market, he's going to make some money. Somebody's going to pay John Miller and a couple of other guys too. I just don't know if we're just trading parts around here on offensive lines and if it might not be maybe the most important position, second most important after quarterback in terms of scheme and coaching. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
it really is critical to get the guys you want playing the way you want them to play.
It is. I mean, teams have had to completely revamp the way that they address the offensive line because of how poorly these NFL draft prospects are prepared to play right. In the NFL.
It's, the game is so different now at the college
level for them. It's night and day. So
even the guys at the big schools, I mean.
Yeah, they all stand there and watch the sideline right. Before the snap, and then nobody put their hands
on the
ground.
Nobody puts their hand on the ground. Yeah. That's the thing.
It's a different game.
Offensive lineman in the NFL, you got to have your hand on the ground, mm-hmm. And you got to run block, you got to pull, you got to run, and you got to zone block. You got to do it all.
And that's why free agency for offensive line is so important. And they're going to get paid handsomely. And for good reason. I mean, they're
hard to find.
When you have the potential guys in the draft, which it was a lot higher of a hit rate, you know, back when the gap between college and pros really wasn't as steep. But when you have that factor going into it, and you have the centers that you really need the centers to be on top of task. So you have those guys hitting the open market. They're going to get paid really well and for good reason.
Is that for the Bills, is that your top target for them in
free agency? Yeah.
Offensive line, center in particular?
Center. And then I would probably say in terms of offensive line, offensive tackle, finding one. If you can find a left, if they're interested in Donovan Smith, go for it. Then figure out what to do with Deion Dawkins. I don't know that would be as compelled to do it for the right tackle.
Is Jordan Mills on his way out, do you think?
He's a free agent. I mean, he's been here a long time. He has held on to that starting job for a long time. And I think
you say that like it's a negative. I think it shows that he's found a way to make the roster. And
yeah.
He had some good offensive lines a couple of years ago.
I know. I think he's a replacement-level player. I really do. And that's just from watching him for years and years and years now. I mean, four seasons of starting for Jordan Mills in Buffalo. He's had his time here. I mean, if they strike out, sure, he's always there.
He'll hit a home run in free agency if he hits the market.
I don't know if that's right. Jordan Mills? No. Yeah. I mean, the Bills just re-signed him last offseason for what? Like $1.5 million, $2 million? It wasn't that big of a deal. So I don't think he'll like hit the market hard. If the Bills are interested in finding a right tackle, I wonder if a guy like Darrell Williams will be right up their alley. Carolina guy, of course. Brandon Bean knows him well. So I wonder if he might be their cup of tea.
There's a lot of internet chatter about the Carolina linebacker Thomas Smith being a Buffalo Bill target. What do you think?
Davis, you mean?
Or Thomas Davis. Yeah,
duh. No, all good. He's a weak side backer, which unless he wants to become, you know, a special teams / leader guy, sure. But if
that's just people connecting dots, I think.
Right. I mean, you're not going to start him over Matt Milano.
Right.
That's for sure. And, I mean, does he actually just want to be a backup? I don't think he would.
So
that doesn't make sense to me.
So free agency comes and goes, and the Bills they delve as deep as they can get value. You know, mm-hmm. And they've said it, and it makes great sense that they're not going to overspend. They're not going to get that's why, you know, we talk about you know, in our Twitter poll, are we gonna get a guy like Jadeveon Clowney or somebody? And we did that with Mario Williams. You bring these big guys in, it's hard to get the value out of those contracts. So I would imagine the Bills would stick to guys who feel like, wow, this is a great contract. I want to earn, you know, that kind of thing. Guys with a chip on the shoulder, good character. So
yeah, they're going to spend though. They're going to spend a bit.
They've got some money to do it, and I think I would rather see him get a bunch of guys and have some guys, a couple of guys, overachieve than to get one guy who is a star player who takes it out of gear.
The only thing that counters that argument is the contract they gave to Star Lotulelei last year, which was probably above what his market would have indicated. But they felt it was so essential.
They trusted his character to come in and play hard.
Well, true, and they had nothing at one technique, and they didn't want to. They had to put money into defensive tackles somehow. They had to put some resources into it, and they weren't getting a great three tech in free agency. So for them, they thought it was worth it. So I think maybe in the case of center, when you look at, I mean, go back to Carolina, Ryan Khalil was their guy for forever, and they paid him handsomely, and so they know the value of a center. I mean, how about the guy you had on your show earlier today?
Yeah,
they gave him a fat extension, even when they didn't have to at that point in the year. And I think it was in August of 2017. And that's how highly they value the position. So when it comes to center, I think that's the spot they could make a big strike.
All right. So all this happens in free agency. Then what? What happens when the draft rolls around? What do you see the Bills doing?
Before we leave free agency, what about receivers?
Yeah.
What about Tyrell Williams, John Brown? I love John Brown.
I think Tyrell is going to get paid. Yeah. I really do. I mean, you're talking about a guy entering the prime of his career, huge target, NFL loves size, he has speed, and he's shown he can produce in a bigger role. I think there is a chance he makes 11, 12 mil a year. Do you want to sign Tyrell Williams for 12 mil a year?
What's keeping him from making Sammy Watkins money? Like 14 a year.
Well, I mean, Sammy.
Somebody will pay that.
Sammy tantalizes you with his raw ability, and that's just him. I mean, we know how incredibly talented he can, and the potential that's there, and still he's still very young for him. So I don't know if Tyrell is going to make Sammy Watkins, but he's going to get paid for sure. John Brown, which you brought up, I like him. I think the Bills were in on him last year.
Yep.
Tried to be. You know, it all depends on what they're looking for. I think what they need...
They need a couple.
They need a slot. They need a slot receiver.
Yeah.
Badly. Zay Jones isn't it.
No. Nope.
Robert Foster isn't it.
No.
I don't think Isaiah McKenzie is it. No. So when you need a slot receiver, maybe a guy like Adam Humphries, maybe you just wait for one in the draft because there's a lot of good receivers out there.
That gets to Steve's question about the draft. What do you see the Bills looking at in the draft?
I wouldn't rule out pass rusher and three technique defensive tackle with the first pick at nine if they stay there. They do have a great opportunity, by the way. Denver's sitting there at 10. They need a QB. If they have their heart set on Drew Locke or if Dwayne Haskins is off or is still on the board, I mean, that's a great opportunity for the Bills to move down, grab some more picks in the second or third round and still get good value to wherever they draft. But you talk about the – in terms of the first round, the value in this draft – defensive line. I mean, a guy like Ed Oliver could be there for him if they trade down in at 14 or 15th overall. There's a bunch of edge rushers that you can find in this draft.
What'd you think of Sweat down in Mobile? Didn't you like him?
He is huge.
Yeah, long.
So, I mean, knowing how much they prefer prototypes and size here with this regime, I think he would be up their alley. So there's a lot of different areas they could go. I don't think they would be necessarily dead set on adding an offensive lineman at ninth overall.
Yeah. It's different this year in the draft because there's not that 5-6 quarterback bonanza with people willing to mortgage everything to get there. At which I hear what you're saying about maybe Denver wants to move up. Do they really want to move up to nine to get the kid from Missouri? I mean, is he going to get anybody?
I'll tell you what, Denver has been striking out left and right with quarterbacks since Peyton Manning. I mean,
I know. What are we talking about?
Paxton Lynch?
Yeah.
Case Keenum, now Joe Flacco. What a terrible trade that was for Denver.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, you're trading a fourth-round pick for one of the worst contracts in the NFL for a guy who is way past his prime. I mean, come on. Let's John Elway's got to be better. He's got to be able to recognize
quarterback talent a little bit better. And
I
get kind of hammered for saying this because I probably don't articulate it well. One thing I give John Elway credit for is washing guys through there. He does Case Keenum, 30, all this. A lot of GMs wouldn't do that, wouldn't eject Case Keenum and say something. They'd fix something else. They say, listen, we
Yeah, but you're signing him in the first place, and you could tell he was not
mistakes.
Good.
You're giving him credit for cleaning up his mistakes.
Hey, you're giving him no credit for trying to fix his quarterback issue.
No. Well,
you got to fix it. You got to try.
You have to try every single year.
I'm telling you, not every – how many quarterbacks have Denver had? A ton.
Yeah.
A ton. How many have, say, like the Washington Redskins had? Like two? Well, how many have the Dallas Cowboys had? One. They got this Dak Prescott. Come on.
He has literally tried about
six. The Arizona Cardinals, they got like one.
He has tried to rectify it about six or seven times and has failed every time.
It's not easy.
Of course it's not easy, but you got to get it right.
And you've only got certain choices every time you wash through. And
he had the chance to draft Josh Allen or Josh Rosen last year, and instead he chose a pass rusher.
I agree with that.
He thought to himself, hey, we're good with Case Keenum. Okay, buddy.
Right. After the year Case Keenum had, I think Case Keenum fooled a lot of people. Because remember, they had Kirk Cousins, They had who else lit it up last year? They had all these guys that were coming. Alex Smith was going to get traded. He was going to be out of Kansas City. They had all these named quarterbacks that were going to come available last year. Plus, the quarterback class of the five guys that were taken in the first round.
Right.
So there was a lot of choices last year, and he took one of them, and I agree with you. The guys, the people, the New York Giants should be vilified for not taking one of these guys. I like Saquon Barkley, good kid, great player. No.
Everyone was screaming it from the mountaintops on draft Twitter.
It is unbelievable that the New York football Giants passed on one of these quarterbacks that was a generational class, and they have Eli Manning. I mean, I like Eli too, but – come on. That was – I can't believe they did that.
Yep.
Hey, Joe, thanks for this. What's going on over there at Channel 7? It's pretty much the Keith Radford farewell tour, right, for the last – it's been going on for about 3 years. And make sure you tell him I said that.
Oh, of course. Of course I will. He always asks if I ever come on the show. He's like, oh, how's John Murphy coming?
Yeah, yeah. He's a good man.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Have a great – you're on vacation coming up, so have a great vacation. Week. Thanks for carving out some time for us.
Of course.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Joe Biscal, you can follow his Bills coverage on Channel 7 here in Buffalo, WKBW-TV. He's sports director there. Steve and I coming back, and we'll come back with more discussion about our Twitter poll today. It's One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from Buffalo Bills Radio. Guy Steve, and he first popped up onto my radar. He was at WGR Radio, our flagship here in Buffalo, and he was at the Combine, and I had dinner with him and Mark Gaughan in Indy one night, and I came away saying, wow, this guy knows his draft stuff. He still does. He does a great job over there at Channel 7. Thanks to him for joining us on the show today. He had the right answer, too, for our Twitter poll. And I don't know. I mean, you're laughing as if you have a position on this.
It's in the minority.
We can't pin you down.
The minority says that you're wrong, that this year is more important than last year.
So that's the question. Is this offseason more important than last offseason for the Buffalo Bills? If you'd like to weigh in, we got phone lines open, but only for a few more minutes. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. You can vote in the Twitter poll, which is going very one way so far today. It has right from the start on the Twitter poll. It's a landslide, folks, on the Twitter poll.
80-20.
And I'm trying to – oh, here it is. 700 votes in. Is this offseason more important than last year for the Bills? 80% of you say, yeah, it is. No, it's not. I say I'm in the 20%. And Steve is right in between the yes and the no there somewhere.
I am. I'm debating myself, and I can't really come to a conclusion except that – the reason I think this one is so important is because the last one was so important. Right?
Go on.
So, I think I don't think you can put one off season ahead of the other. The only reason last year's, I would say, is less important is because it's past. This next one is important because it could make or break the franchise. It could put the franchise on a trajectory or put them in a place where they haven't been for 25 years. They could put them deep into the playoffs in a contention for a Super Bowl. This offseason could do that.
Last offseason could have done that.
But it didn't.
The quarterback question wrong.
But it didn't.
We need you to step back. We need you not to be a prisoner of the present. Step back and take a historical view of the franchise. Last year, a lot was at stake. Five quarterbacks, five premium quarterbacks in that draft. The Bills, as you said, with the 20th overall selection, had to maneuver first, had to identify who they wanted. I think they boiled it down to Josh Allen or Sam Darnold, had to maneuver to get in position to do that, and then had to do it. And now they have a potential. I'm not saying he's a finished product. I'm not saying it's a done deal. He is certainly a strong candidate, though, to be Buffalo's franchise quarterback. They got him last year. That's infinitely more important than just about anything that will go on over the next couple months with the Bills, I believe.
Maybe.
Maybe it's an okay answer.
Yeah, I think when you step back in the big picture and look at all of them, it's the reason you can say that now is because this offseason has not happened. This offseason, it's easy to say how important that one was because you don't have this one to reflect on. You don't. It's coming up. You got to say because there's so many future possibilities that this offseason could spin off into. This one has the potential to be way more important than last year's, even with the quarterback included. But it also could be disastrous.
And last year's, in February of 2018, you could have said that about the 2018 offseason.
That's right.
Let's take a call here.
It's hard.
It's a difficult question.
Because you're asking to assign importance to something that hasn't happened, and the ramifications span the spectrum of positive, negative. And it's, you know, you're... It's an impossible answer.
Wayne in Tonawanda has an answer. Not so impossible for Wayne. Go ahead, Wayne. You're on the air with us.
Hey, this is Wayne from Tonawanda.
Oh, Wayne. What did I say? Amherst? I'm sorry, Wayne.
Go ahead, Wayne.
Wrong Wayne. Right church, wrong Wayne.
Tonawanda. And I think that this offseason is by far more important than last offseason from the developmental perspective of the players. This year, Josh Allen hopefully will be the number one on the depth chart and get all the off-season help that he needs.
What makes you think he wouldn't be number one in the depth chart?
Here, he was number three in the depth chart. Our number one guy got traded away to Dallas for a second-round pick, so we wasted an awful lot of last season.
What are you talking about? Who got traded away to Dallas?
What are you talking about? What, Wayne?
Okay, well, what I'm talking about is this off-season is definitely more important than last offseason.
I know you said that, but why is that?
Because last off-season, Josh Allen was the lowest person on the depth chart, not getting any of the reps, not getting any of the...
Go ahead. And what else?
This year, he's going to be number one.
He is going to be number one.
And
yes. He was number two.
Not hopefully, but yes, he is definitely number one.
When they broke camp last year, he was number two on the depth chart.
That's right. Only because they traded away the number one guy the week before.
Well, he was the number three guy the week before.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
They traded away the number three guy the week before.
Thanks, Wayne.
Okay, thank you.
Puzzling. Mike in North Tonawanda. Hello, Mike.
Thanks, Murph. Hi, Steve. Got your answer for you.
Good.
This year's draft is by far and away the most important. It was great to get Josh Allen, but we have a lineup that has more holes in it than Swiss cheese. You guys tell me how many players we should put in a position where they're untouchable and then compare to what we have to replace and what we have to improve upon. If we don't get the talent for Josh Allen, getting Josh Allen isn't going to matter. Besides, you don't want Josh Allen to get beat up for 3 or 4 years until the team comes around and then there's nothing left of him. But this year, by far and away, is the most important draft.
Well,
Mike, your answer is predicated on Josh Allen. Josh Allen came last year.
Okay, Murph, don't twist it now. I admire your passion, but I find fault in your logic.
Okay.
All right.
I'm twisting it, but everything, your whole answer, your whole argument is based on having Josh Allen surrounding him with talent. They got Josh Allen because of what they did last offseason.
All right. Let me ask you this, Mike. You're going down saying all these guys are expendable. Okay. So, Josh Allen's not expendable, right?
Right.
All right. Is Tremaine Edmonds expendable?
Tremaine plays defense, of course, but no.
You said players. I mean, there's a lot of guys on this. You got a defense that was number two in the National Football League, and you're ready to kick all those guys to the curb just for Josh Allen.
No, I'm not, Murph. That defense isn't going to be number two this year unless they could find a way to get some pressure on the passer.
They couldn't get the pressure on the passer last year, and they were number two in the league.
How many years is that going to happen, Steve?
Well, it happened one year when – how many years does it have to happen if they can be number two?
Steve, they're not going to stay in that lofty position of number two playing that soft ball that they play.
Well, what?
I don't know.
They played number two defense. They were the number two defense in the National Football League, and they had no offensive help. Zero. How good are they going to be if they get a couple of wide receivers and start scoring maybe 7 points a game more than they did this year, and the defense gets maybe one extra turnover a year, or the offense rushes for more than 62 yards a game or whatever it was they rushed for? And what happens if the offense starts scoring points? Then how good is that defense going to get? Pretty good.
Thanks, Mike. One more call we'll try to squeeze in, Steve. I know you want to do true and false. See if we can get a call in here. Mark in Buffalo. Go ahead, Mark. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. I think the previous caller, I'm not sure, came in halfway through, might have touched on a little bit what I was about to say. I think there's two differences here. I think last year the guys went out and they went and hopefully found the hardest thing to find in pro sports, which is a franchise quarterback.
Okay. Right.
That doesn't mean that, and that's very, very important. But if you look at the NFL, franchise quarterbacks can't do it alone. That, and to me, if they don't, the offensive line is the heartbeat of a football team, without a doubt. They can cover up so many things. They can help a defense out, and you know they can control the game, the pace of the game, the whole nine yards. And if we don't fix that interior of that offensive line this year, Josh Allen, we may never find out for the truth if he truly is a franchise guy, because I think it could derail his development for the next 2-3 years.
Yeah, Mark, you're exactly right, and I think one of the things I got to notice about before we head to a break, Mark, this whole conversation and all day today, this whole question, it's amazing to me now that I think about it after talking about it for almost 3 hours, Murph.
Yes.
This whole question about whether this is the most important offseason and all, whether it is or not, it all boils down to fixing the offensive line. Every conversation we have had has boiled down to their ability to get offensive linemen in free agency, in the draft, fix everything that's in front of Josh Allen. This whole conversation about how important this offseason is has been about the offensive line.
I don't know about that. I think
all the callers get down
important.
To that. And we brought it up too, but mostly it's been you and me. And Joe touched on it, but even Joe focused on the offensive line more than he focused on anything else.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's
we got to get to break. We're coming back with more. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Well, it's time now for What Have We Learned. It is brought to you by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. They're award-winning as well. Eric Wood joined us, former Bills center, longtime observer of the league and the NFL. We got talking to him about the offensive line play, and we asked Eric Wood, what makes an ideal NFL offensive line these days?
Yeah, I think for a healthy offensive line, you always need a mix of veterans, a mix of some young guys that are going to contribute and play, and then your project types. And I think that keeps you, with a functioning, high quality group for a long time, and not just, hey, we're going to throw a bunch of money into free agency, we're going to play a bunch of young guys, or we're going to develop a bunch of guys. You know, I think you just need a great mix.
Also on the show, Bill Barnwell from ESPN. We asked Bill Barnwell if this Bills offseason is more important than last year's. Oh, we don't have that one.
Yeah, I told you we're just going to do one. What did we learn? Because we went over on my debating myself.
They didn't take it out on the rundown.
Oh,
so we had a good show going until the last.
All right, I'm
going
to take a stand, and I think this.
Oh, he's finally ready to commit.
This offseason is more important than last year's offseason.
Wrong.
The stakes are higher. That's why.
Wrong. Want to thank our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Murph, have a great weekend.
You too, Steve.
Enjoyed it. I'll
you
see
too.
You.
Might be a holiday for some, but not for us. We're back here Monday at
President's
12 noon.
Day. We're
President's
on.
Day. Not for us. We do
Boom!
Not acknowledge the presidents. One Bills Live returns next Monday at noon. It's presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.